talk to you about this morning about giving thanks. You know, it's, well, we had Thanksgiving Day, and then there was, I don't know if they did it this year, I don't even pay any attention, you know what, but the way they change it, Thanksgiving Day, you no sooner get the dishes done, and then everybody races to the store, you know, because some stores are open on Thanksgiving evening, and so anyway, Thanksgiving Day, everybody's working like crazy, or at least mom is, right, getting everything ready for dinner, and then there's a hectic thing about putting the dinner together, and then everybody eats, and before you eat, you say a prayer of Thanksgiving, and then boom, everybody's off to the races, and then there's Black Friday, and then there's Small Business Saturday, and tomorrow we have Cyber Monday, and I felt like, you know, it'd be really appropriate if we would stop again on this Sunday and take another look about this whole Thanksgiving thing. Take another stab at it. Maybe we could do it right this year. There was a country church up in not too far from here, and the pastor, he was so appreciated by his folks, and they loved him so much, and forgive me, I got to get the right file open, but it says, this file is not present. I guess I'll have to wing it, right? Yeah, amen. Well, if he wasn't here, I wouldn't come, right? Yeah, thank you, Jerry. So anyway, this old pastor, he was loved so dearly by his congregation, and he was always so positive, always had great things to share, no matter what. And one blizzardy, snowy morning, he didn't get to church on time. And the service was about to start when he, and everybody was worried about him, and he came tromping in the door, barely in time to start the service. And as he got to the pulpit, he said something about, I'm so sorry, he's apologizing, my car wouldn't start, I had to get a jump started, and then since I was running late, I was driving too fast, I slid in the ditch, and I walked the last mile to get to church. And congregation wondered, well, he's always so thankful, always so positive, how will he begin the service today? And he began with the prayer. He said, gracious Lord, I thank you that not all days are like today. It's Thanksgiving. And God has done so much for us. He has been so good to us. And in his goodness and his grace, I don't think we are really appropriate in how we offer thanks to him. I really don't. I know in my own life and how I live it that it just wasn't the same when I first got saved and was so overwhelmingly thankful to the Lord for what he'd done for me. And it's kind of like this blazing fire that grows cold, and I take so much for granted. And this last week, actually it's a couple, 3 weeks ago already, but I was having one of those days where everything went wrong. You know, you ever begin the day and you spill everything? And it's like, oh, and you drop everything on the floor. And one thing I discovered that when you reach a certain age, you don't bend over to pick it up unless there's a couple things on the floor so you can make it worth the while, right? But it was one of those days, and I was really struggling. And I was racing from one part of the camp to another, and I was praying that the Lord would help me, and I just sat down on a park bench by the fire pit, and I said, Lord, I need your help. And it wasn't a long prayer, but I just cried help, and then, you know, by the end of the day, everything was fine. Oh, there were still things that had to be fixed or done, but it just didn't matter. And the next day I was walking by that same spot, And I stood there and I went, oh, I didn't even say thank you. So I sat on the bench once again and I asked God to forgive me that I take for granted when he fixes things, everything from a generator starting and to something else that didn't work. And it's just so good. It's so good when God takes care of us like that. And I'm so grateful that God overlooks even our lack of gratitude. Too often we take for granted what God's given us. There was years ago a couple I knew, they would told me how they would, when they bought their groceries, they would carry them in the house and everything's on the counter and the table and the chairs. And before they would stop and put all the groceries away, they said we'd pray and we'd give God thanks for all these groceries. And I thought, that is so cool. And they said, yeah, and that way we don't have to, because we're busy and stuff, and that way we don't have to stop and give thanks before every meal. And I can't imagine people behaving like that. Nonetheless, we are sometimes like that, aren't we? We just take it for granted. And not only do we take it for granted, but we want even more. It's like the little boy, he went into the grocery store with his mom and he was going through the produce section and the shop owner was there and he saw the little fella and he said, here, and he gave him a great big orange. And mom said to her son, what do you say to the man? And the boy looked at the orange and he looked at the man and he looked at the orange and the man again and he said, peel it. It's kind of a silly story, but we as children of God, thankfulness should not happen just one season a year or just one day. It should be an attitude every day, every moment of every day. To demonstrate this point, I want us to examine the account of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I want to look at some important truths concerning the attitude of gratitude each one of us should have. As you're turning there, I'd like to pray. God in heaven, as we've come here this morning, I do thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. I pray for your anointing on this time. I pray, O God, that we would leave here this morning not only challenged, but through the power of your Holy Spirit, the power of your word, that we would leave here changed, never to be the same. And we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. As we begin this story, we learn that Jesus encountered 10 men who were in a horrible predicament. They had leprosy. Back then, much like today with the C word and the horror of cancer, the L word was leprosy. Leprosy has terrified humanity since the early ages in time. Now it's called Hansen's disease. It is still a major health problem in many parts of Africa, Asia, Latin America. For many centuries, it was considered a curse of God, often associated with sin. The thing with leprosy, it did not immediately kill. It was more like a slow death, sometimes taking 20, 25 years before people succumbed to the disease. Many people thought leprosy to be a disease of the skin. However, it's an attack of the nervous system because the leprosy bacterium attacks the nerves It's revealed in starting with your skin and your appendages and spreads continuing to your fingers, you know, your hands, your feet, your face, even your ears. Patients with leprosy experience disfigurement of their skin, the bones, their fingers will curl, their arms, their bones will twist, and in advanced stages, a blindness occurs. And as the nerve damage advances, patients are unable to feel anything, and oftentimes these victims of the disease, they lost all sense of pain and touch in their extremities, and a leper could pick up a boiling cup of water and not even realize it. Some leprosy patients have had their fingers eaten by rats in their sleep because they were totally unrealized what was taking place. And if this isn't bad enough, due to the highly contagious aspects of leprosy, beginning immediately upon discovery, the person is isolated from everyone. They're removed from their family and loved ones, and they're put into a place distant, far from any chance of infecting others. Sometimes they would be put into a leper colony. And they put in a place where they're surrounded by walls, and people just stay far away until these people slowly die alone. Having no means to support themselves anymore, they had to rely on others, and people would come and throw food at them from a distance so as to avoid being contagious. Luke describes a scenario in which 10 lepers standing at a distance, living in isolation, and one can only imagine how long it had been since they had felt the touch of their children, the kiss from their spouse, or hug from their family. One would have no idea, but they were out there alone and desperate. And the law demanded that whenever another person or persons came in with the vicinity of a leper, they were to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" as a warning so that they did not come too close. Spiritually, leprosy is like sin. Like leprosy, sin puts us in an awful position. The Bible teaches us in Romans 6:23 that the payment of sin is death. Sin is a spiritual killer. That's why the Bible clearly explains God's plan to give us life again. In 1 John 5:11 and 12, it says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And these lepers were separated from their loved ones, much in the same way you and I were separated from God because of the sin in our lives. They were doomed in their leprosy, much like you and I were doomed in our sin. Like them, we can do nothing to save ourselves. We can do nothing except to cry out to Jesus. Jesus came to save sinners. Someone said to me once, "Oh, God is a good God. Why does He send people to hell?" He doesn't send people to hell. Hell is default mode for all of those who are born, everyone. God, in so much desperate love for His people, for humanity, His children, it's clear in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." He came our way on purpose in spite of the awful position that sin puts us in. And Jesus is able to reach to us and to save us. And the Bible is clear, friend, if you've been trying to save yourself, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And like those 10 lepers, while we stand far off, His heart is not far from us. He reaches out. And in response, we should accept that gift that He gives by praying, "Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done. Please come into my heart, forgive me for what I've done, and help me to live for You." The Bible says if you make that proclamation in your heart, it's not about a prayer, it's a matter of a change in your heart and surrendering to Him and saying, "I'm sorry, and I'm so thankful for what You did, and I I receive that gift of salvation. And when that happens, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us you become a new creation in Christ. It says, behold, the old things are gone, the new has come. If you want a brand new life today, you don't have to leave without making that same decision that so many of us have. And I find it amazing in this story, these 10 men understood their condition, that they couldn't rescue themselves, and yet they realized that Jesus could save them. So much so that they were, instead of crying, unclean, unclean, when they saw it was Jesus, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They broke the law. Jesus, have mercy on us. There's a story told of an old man who was standing at the edge of a cliff and admiring the view, and the ground gave way at his feet, and he fell, plummeting to the rocks hundreds of feet below, and he reached out and grabbed a branch as he was falling, and he hung on for everything he was worth. And this man was an atheist, but he thought, well, it doesn't hurt to try, so he cried out, God, if there is a God, save me. And a voice came booming out from heaven and said, yes, there is a God, and I am him, and I can save you. Trust in me, believe in me, and let go of that branch. The man looked up, and he cried out once again, is there anyone else up there? He just couldn't believe. He just couldn't bring to himself, no matter what, how desperate a situation, he could not bring himself to trust in him. Is there anyone else up there? There is not anyone else up there. And these lepers, they found hope in Jesus as he walked by. These 10 men, they understood their need for rescue, and they recognized that salvation was near. They'd heard about Jesus. They heard about how he changed people's lives, how he set others free. And as he cried out, perhaps never before had 10 men ever experienced such a level of hope. Such hope was in their hearts. Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy. And Jesus responded to each one's needs as he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And this is to verify their healing as required by law. And we read in verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. I think that's pretty cool. It's like other times when Jesus said, yeah, I'll heal you, and he, blammo, they'd be healed, right? But he told these guys, it's like, well, yeah, I'll go ahead and go to the priests and you'll be cleansed, you'll be healed. Well, where's the blammo? And so many times we want a blammo in our lives, but the Lord says, you're going to have to trust me because I'm working in a way that you don't understand. Here's the, and it says one of them, when he saw he was healed, in verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Before, in a loud voice, he's crying out for mercy. And now in the same excitement, the same fervor, he says, thank you. Says he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And here's the key to my message this morning. That was just the introduction. We're all in the same awful position. All cried out and all were saved, yet only one returned to offer thanksgiving. You notice he had a reason to praise. They all did. Jesus set them free from such a horrid disease that led to death. They each one experienced this miraculous transition as the power of God flowed through their body, flowed throughout their whole being, and that which was decayed became brand new. Their senses were restored. Well, it was more than an extreme makeover. It was a divine makeover. Estee Lauder and Mary Kay had nothing on what Jesus did. They were transformed from the inside out. And this man, he was changed in this by this encounter with Christ. And I don't know just how it happened, but maybe as they walked toward the priest's house, the pain began to leave. They felt something different. And then they began to notice that their skin was losing that scaly white appearance, and it became that golden Arabic brown that they are used to. Maybe they passed some people and expected those people to yell. But nobody said anything. I don't know how it came to this conclusion, but they were healed. And when this man saw he was healed, he stopped going in one direction and he made a beeline to Jesus. His heart was so filled with gratitude, he turned to Jesus to offer praise. They all been healed, but only one returned. What happened to the other nine? Where'd they go? Well, I'll bet, after they were declared clean by the priest, I'll bet suddenly life got much too busy. They could hardly wait to return to their families, to kiss their wife and hug their children. They wanted to visit with mom and dad, talk with their friends. Life become too busy. Their minds were occupied with all the healing that God brought to their lives, and they went about other things. Not bad things, but busy things. Except one. Oh, this one, he loved his wife. Who knows how long it had been since he'd seen her, since he held her. He loved his children. And he wanted to enjoy those reunions just as much as the others, but this one had his priorities in order. This one did not get so wrapped up in the blessing that he forgot the one who blessed him. He put family and friends and fellowship on hold so that he could worship and say thank you to the one who set him free. Yeah, and with the same loud voice, he glorified God. Many times we cry for help with a loud voice, but we are very low in our thanksgiving. Because this one leper returned, he received much, much more than the others did. They received physical healing from a distance, and this one not only received this physical healing, but he got close to Jesus. Now that's something that makes this life creme de la creme. It's being close to Jesus. And if you never experience it, oh friend, you have never experienced life. To have an intimacy with our Savior, with the Creator of the universe, being close to the one who loved us so much that He died for us, the one who provided for us in so many ways, what an added blessing. Intimacy with Jesus. And there's a closeness that takes place when you have more than a realization of what one has done for you, but for what one is to you. Do you hear me this morning? There's a closeness that takes place when you have more than a realization of what one has done for you than for what one is to you. When that understanding occurs, you aren't compelled to offer thanks out of obligation. Instead, this desire wells up within you and you realize, I want to be with you, Jesus. I want to talk to you. I want to listen to you. I want to show appreciation to you. I just want to be in your presence. It's a change of mindset. We no longer complain about things in this life that seem so trivial. Nothing else matters. And the benefits we enjoy from our Heavenly Father, greater still they become when we stop to thank Him. There was a father and a mother of a young man killed in the military, and they visited their pastor one day. They told him they wanted to give a monetary gift as a memory to their son who died in battle. The pastor said, "What a wonderful idea. We would love to help you with this." And with their permission, the pastor on Sunday, he told the congregation of the memorial gift. And as another couple was on their way home from church, the father said to his wife, why don't we give a gift in honor of our son? And his wife said, "But our son didn't die in conflict. Our son is still alive." To which the father replied, "I know. All the more reason to say thank you." Heavenly Father, we will always be deeply indebted to you. God, this morning we ask that you would please forgive us of this sin of ingratitude. Lest we might find someone here in this place or listening online that feel like, well, that's not me. Have you ever complained about anything? Have you ever complained? Talk about ingratitude. We truly were thankful. We would have nothing to complain about. Instead of that little boy, that attitude, just peel it. We would instead say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.